Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story. And the news behind the news is not about right or left, it's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And it is about the gospel of the kingdom, especially in this time. By the way, at the end of August here, we are going to have an action-packed week coming up. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that here in a few minutes. But we have a lot of speakers coming. I'm just confirming one right before the show. And there is just a lot going on, and I want to make sure everybody out there knows and is a part of it. You can feel revival here in Spokane right now, and there's just a change happening, and something is coming big. God is on the move, and something is coming big. And Jesus is bigger than everything in our lives that we have to worry about. Bigger than all those problems. But he is on the move right now. That's why we're seeing this weird shift in psychology among people right now. You're seeing people just raging on the street and getting upset about nothing. And just, this is the enemy raging through people. And we need to be ready for this time, because God is moving and something, telling you, something really big. You can feel it, something really big. So let's keep that in mind as I go through the intelligence briefing. But first, the gospel of the kingdom is Isaiah 61:1-4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, they will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many, many generations. And that is the most important part of this. God wants to restore. He is a God of restoration. And he is always intervening. He's intervening at every moment of our lives, the course of this nation. He's intervening. He's not sitting there waiting. He's intervening already. And he expects us to be co-laboring with him, since we are co-heirs with Christ. We're supposed to be working right now with him. Every area of our community. Politics is one area, but it's a very important area, because virtually everything is politics if you define it as the relationship between people. There will be politics. Relationship with the Lord is religion, not a religious spirit. So we're clear on that. Not a political spirit. Those are corruptions of relationships. So, I've got a whole bunch to give to you today as far as the daily intelligence briefing. So please, if you've got something to write on, take notes with, do it. There is, again, a sea change happening. First, we're going to start in the Middle East, coming to us from Debka File. The first Iranian, again, you're not seeing this stuff in the mainstream media, the legacy media. It is the legacy media, because they aren't reporting on stuff like this. Debka File, first Iranian kamikaze drone against Israeli tanker. So you want to know what the attack was the other day? Now you know. And that's a huge escalation as tensions rises. Gantz vows appropriate response. They're calling it a suicide drone attack last Friday, now that it's coming out on the Israeli-operated merchant vessel, the Mercer Street, north of the Omani island of Misera in the Indian Ocean. Two crewmen, a Briton and a Romanian, were killed as the ship caught fire. Now, the United States Navy actually rushed to the burning ship's aid and escorted it to harbor in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. So the United States was involved with this. A U.S. aircraft carrier and destroyer escorting that Israeli ship attacked by an Iranian drone into port. Now, today, also coming to us from Debka File, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, while inspecting troops on Israel's northern border with Lebanon and Syria, said on Tuesday, quote, Israel is rallying global action against Iran, end quote, for its drone attack on the Mercer Street off of Oman. But, and here's the quote, is capable of acting on its own if necessary, end quote. So again, tensions are rising in the Middle East. And, you know, World Affairs Brief, Joel Skousen talked about how the next war was going to be started with Israel as a proxy against Iran. And we've talked about the fact that they want to gin up a war in the Middle East so that some U.S. troops are taken overseas, and then a cyber attack will happen here in the United States of America. We talked about that last winter. Okay, so it's literally occurring right before our eyes, everything we talked about and the steps that we're talking about. Now, moving next to the other part of this narrative that the legacy media is trying to foist on people. It's the idea that if you're not vaccinated, that somehow you're going to be responsible for this. However, there was a victory yesterday in Canada, coming to us from the New American. Alberta ends COVID-19 restrictions after citizens' court victory. A Canadian citizens' court victory may have been the impetus for the province of Alberta, Canada, so to effectively and nearly end all of its COVID-19 restrictions on July 28th. So they have a little bit of restrictions left. But Patrick King, an oil and gas worker from Red Deer in Alberta, was fined $1,200 in December for running afoul of these COVID-19 restrictions during a protest. And King fought the case in court and issued a subpoena in which he asked for documents showing isolation of the SARS-CoV-2 virus in human beings. In other words, he was trying to get the primary source document evidence on SARS-CoV-2 virus in human beings. They were unable to provide such documentation, bringing into question the provincial government's reasons for issuing the restrictions in the first place. In other words, listen, this is powerful. Huge admission from Canadian officials. Huge. They literally couldn't prove there was a disease warranting the restrictions. You heard that right. Now, we're not even talking about causation. Like, the government has to show, the burden of proof is on the government to show that a business doing something actually caused the transmission. But right now, they can't even prove that there was actually a reason for the restrictions in the first place. Huge. Now, hear this. And this is a really important distinction. This is King speaking when he went into court. I went into court and I produced some information that I needed to request in order to put up a good, plausible defense, he explained. The material that I requested was the isolation of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, and I wanted it isolated and not in a lab setting or in a PCR test. As King explained, this material would prove that the virus was a threat to the public and would show a true reason for the government's restrictions on the people of the province. If they did that, I would be no problem. I would say, okay, you're right. You got this. I'll put a mask on. Now, I disagree with that because masks do not stop viruses, and anybody that has any semblance of training in biowarfare knows that. But okay, I digress. But the Alberta Health Department couldn't provide those materials. Quote, Mr. King is requesting evidence that we cannot give. Why can't they give it? Does it not exist? Interesting. So I'm going to post this up online. Share this thing virally. Go if you're not following me on Gab, go to Gab. Follow me there, okay? And I post articles, the same articles I post everywhere else, there on Gab. Follow me on Gab. And I'm on all kinds of other ones like USA Social Life, Getter, Megabook, Twillet, all kinds of different platforms. But go to Gab and share this with your friends and family. This is huge, a huge, huge admission. Which gets to the next thing on the national front. This coming to us from Blaze Media. Obama-era official calls for the unvaccinated to be placed on a no-fly list. Now you're... A former Assistant Secretary for Homeland Security who served under President Barack Obama is suggesting that unvaccinated people should be placed on a no-fly list by the federal government. In other words, if you exercise your right regarding health care, and oh, by the way, the Nuremberg Code is very clear on this, because such horrific human beings like Joseph Mengele used experimental medical treatment on Jewish prisoners in the camps. And after the war during the Nuremberg trial, it was determined that every human being has a right to refuse an experimental medical treatment. And here people are trying to force us. They are literally in violation of the Nuremberg Code. Like, this would have been a reason for them to be tried back in the 1940s. I don't think people understand how powerful this stuff is. And now, Juliet Kayyem is arguing, and by the way, this is in this ultra, ultra Marxist publication, The Atlantic, that a no-fly list for unvaccinated adults is an obvious step the federal government should take. It will help limit the risk of transmission, blah, 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 blah. In other words, presumed guilty without a trial, without evidence, without the ability to confront your accusers, without the ability to challenge their assertions, which are now being proven false almost every day now, the assertions of the legacy media, you know, and these guys that have gotten away with lying for so long, now they don't know what to do. But this is where they want to go with this stuff. It's where they want to go. And we as freedom-loving Americans need to fight back against this. Because there's just absurdity upon absurdity regarding this COVID-19 gene therapy. Now, there are so many, and there are people out there right now, they're actually saying that this is not experimental, but it is. Legally, it is experimental. I mean, that's the only way it was approved without going through all of the FDA testing and mandates. And they can't get around this. And I think this case in Canada has broken this issue wide open. So I want to talk about a couple other things in regards to this. Coming to us from WorldNet Daily, COVID hits all vaccinated Carnival Vista cruise ship staff and passengers. Breakthrough cases appear among those who've taken experimental injections. Okay, so again, why are the outbreaks happening with vaccinated people? 74% in Massachusetts. And it's study after study after study after study is proving this. The fact that some of these vaccines were tested on aborted fetal tissue, so they weren't, they're not comprised of it, or was it in, made in manufactured using, but it was tested on. So again, once again, involved in the abortion industry. And despite that fact, the Archdiocese of New York actually came out with a memorandum on July 30th. And I've got a copy of this. And here is what it said. Okay, and look, as Christians, we need to reevaluate who is trying to interfere with what the Lord is telling us to do. And specifically, in this letter, this is what it says. We occasionally hear from Catholics who have a sincere moral objection to COVID-19 vaccines due to their connection to abortion. That's the testing on aborted fetal lines that I just told you about. This concern, and by the way, that was admitted by Nebraska Medical, and you can take a look at that online so you get the primary source. All right. This concern is particularly acute among people who are strongly pro-life and very loyal to the teachings of the faith. Okay, so they're admitting that people who are strongly pro-life are very loyal to the teachings of the faith. And so in response, they say that people have a moral responsibility to get vaccinated, and there's no basis for a priest to issue a religious exemption to the vaccine, end quote. What? So they're admitting the tie to abortion with these vaccines, and then they're turning around and saying people have a moral responsibility to be a part of it? Horrendous hypocrisy there. And also, this coming to us from WorldNet Daily, Supremes told courts have, quote, no power to authorize the killing of innocent human life. Quote, it is not a privilege bestowed upon us by government. A new brief submitted to the U.S. Supreme Court regarding a case it has decided to review informs justices that government isn't the one that grants life, so it has no authority to allow the taking of innocent life. Well, finally, we're starting to argue the right things. Aside from this directive for Catholics out of New York that's clearly unbiblical. We need to, everywhere we go, we need to call this stuff out. Everywhere we go. All right, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. Now, coming to us from Real Clear Investigations, a lawyer involved with the show trials that are going to be coming up here in September regarding January 6th. A lawyer says that the Capitol cop who shot Ashley Babbitt, quote, ambushed her, end quote, on January 6th without warning. Man. This is getting very interesting. So the Babbitt family attorney, Terry Roberts, said he's gathered evidence indicating the officer, a plainclothes police lieutenant, remained silent. Far from warning Babbitt he would shoot, Roberts said the officer ambushed her from the side where she could not see he had taken up position in a hall doorway and had trained his weapon on her. Quote, it's not debatable, said Roberts. There was no warning, end quote. So again, more coming out on this. I'm sure we're going to hear more in the days to come. Shifting gears again, we're going to go to populist press on the national front. Republican makes explosive audit announcement. Quote, let the fun begin. Pennsylvania Republican State Senator Doug Mastriano is preparing to kick things up a notch. After visiting the election audit in Maricopa County, Arizona, Mastriano took the first steps toward an audit in his own state. Mastriano requested ballots and access to voting machines in three Pennsylvania counties, Tioga, York, and Philadelphia. These counties had until July 31st to comply, and they refused. Now he says, quote, it's on. So there's going to be a fight now starting over this issue in Pennsylvania. In addition to that, coming to us from Populist Press, massive discovery. Swing state removes 205,000. Okay, hear my voice here. Now, we had Glenn Morgan on here a few months ago that talked, he specifically talked about this big issue where you could just take the postal change of address database, compare it with the voter rolls, and Kim Wyman here in Washington State was not doing her job. Huge discrepancies. So now, in the battleground state of Wisconsin, they have now removed more than 205,000 voters from the rolls as part of a routine work to keep up the state's registration list as current as possible. But here's the thing. But conservatives have filed lawsuits back in 2020 demanding that the Wisconsin's Elections Commission remove voters from the rolls if they didn't respond to mailings within 30 days. Those lawsuits failed. Joe Biden took the state of Wisconsin by 20,000 votes. They're so blatant now. So blatant what they're doing. In addition to that, there is very clear evidence that the socialists are not going to stop unless good patriotic Americans stop them, kick them out of office, especially the rhinos, kick them out of office, get them out. And right now, coming to us from thehill.com, Biden may be coming with his own social credit system. Now, we talked about how they were going to try to do this. Well, it's here now. Several web giants are unveiling predecessors to what effectively could become a soft social credit system by the end of this decade. Now, they're moving way faster than that. China's social credit system is a combination of government and business surveillance that gives citizens a score that they can or that can restrict the ability of individuals to take actions. PayPal announced a partnership last week with the left-wing Southern Poverty Law Center. That's interesting. Notice how the Southern Poverty Law Center is right in the middle of all this stuff. In addition to that, coming to us from the Liberty Sentinel, Joint Chiefs demand military personnel violate enlistment oath. And I completely agree with this. I mean, I completely agree with this. When they're asking people to go against the Constitution, they're asking them to violate their enlistment oath. And right now, the teaching of critical race theory is a violation of that oath, among many other things. Now, we're going to shift back to vaccines very briefly. I want to make sure that we cover this because and this ties into the social credit score system, because what they're trying to do is use private businesses to enforce things that they being the federal government, otherwise could not enforce. Coming to us from Epoch Times, North Carolina business owners say they won't implement employee vaccine requirements. So in other words, they're going against what the governor in North Carolina is saying. They're not going to implement these things, and they have every right to, but notice what's happening on the front end of that is the cabal trying to destroy this country is using businesses as their enforcement arm. So if American businesses just stood up and said enough and they did it together, there wouldn't be this problem. But it's so much easier just to make money and go along to get along. And that moves us to the last thing today on the national front. And I'm going to be talking about this a little bit over the next week. But there was a great intelligence update that came out from Understanding the Threat. And I want to highlight one part of that. It was revealed at the end of May 2021 that Communist Chinese General Sun Guangjin purchased 130,000 acres in South Texas near Laughlin Air Force Base. Huh, that's a very interesting place to choose. And there's even more interesting about that, which a lot of people didn't know, is that they were planning on putting together a wind farm there to then plug into the Texas power grid to disrupt it and gather intelligence. And so Texas subsequently passed legislation signed by the governor prohibiting hostile nations like Iran, North Korea, China, and others from plugging into the grid. But that's a reactionary thing. How was he even allowed to buy it in the first place? That's the bigger question. So we're going to talk about this Intel update more later. But I wanted to highlight that. All right, coming down to the regional front, coming up here the last week of August in Spokane. Dr. Emmanuel Ziga is coming to Spokane to the Davenport Grand on the 26th, 27th, and 28th, starting in the morning. And he is putting on a leadership conference. If you've never gone to one of his conferences, you need to. In addition to that, Torben Sandegaard, and if you don't know who he is, watch the movie The Last Reformation. He is coming on the 28th of August. And we are now trying to get Pastor Artur Pulaski here in Spokane as well. We're finalizing those arrangements. I'll announce it next Tuesday. But it's also going to be in this last week of August as well. So I'm trying to get that all put together right now. It's a lot happening. And on the 24th of August, we have the Kingdom Christian Academy annual fundraiser. And I'll have more information coming up on that. So we've got a lot happening that last week of August. So be ready. And it's all good, too. I love it. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And make sure you go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. Remember that this show is replayed across the entire American Christian Network, reaching Eastern Washington, Northeast Oregon, Northern Idaho, and Western Montana every Tuesday and Thursday at 9 p.m. It's replayed. And if you miss that, you can always go to iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon and listen to the podcast there as well. All right, it is my pleasure to introduce Jeff Nyquist, who has written for Newsmax, WorldNet Daily, Sierra Times, Financial Sense, Epoch Times. He's the author of The Origins of the Fourth World War, The New Tactics of Global War, and The Fool and His Enemy. Jeff, it's great to have you on the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about I would just say it this way, that the communists seem like they're running naked to the finish line right now in America. And there's not even a pretense anymore. Social credit systems are now being talked about openly. You have a complete segregation of people who choose not to be vaccinated. There's just so much going on. How do you see the big picture right now in America? And where would you point people as far as the next few months are concerned?
Well, there's so many things going on. First thing is, let's define communism, because people need to know what the enemy is. I call it the new religion. This Marxism and the various versions of it are promoted throughout our universities. The cultural Marxist form is promoted all the way from grade schools on up. And what it is a cultural Marxism. They don't say anything about Marx. But they teach you things like critical race theory and feminism, and they teach you about how America shouldn't have a border, and how, you know, anything that's conservative, anything that's traditional is evil. And that we need to be one world, citizens of the world, and they're against America as a nation, and they're against any kind of understanding of the Constitution as written. So it's they set up all these things, and if you look at the program of the Communist Party USA, it's very explicit. This program is the one that they set up around 2005. It's still current. They did an update on it, I think, in 2018, and then they added with the pandemic, they added a new introduction. And what it is that they're creating a supermajority out of women and minorities, immigrants, LGBTQ, right? And that supermajority is going to take over the country electorally in elections. And then there's going to be kind of unrest and a moment of violence, because they need that to kind of push past the Constitution. Because the U.S. Constitution, it doesn't allow perfect democracy, because perfect democracy means economic democracy, which is a code word for communism. When you are economic democracy, you're in communism, because economic democracy means that everybody gets their fair share, right, which means there are no real property rights. We have to divide up everything evenly all over again, and that means you have to get rid of the Constitution. And that's the program of the Communist Party USA. And so their enemies, they list in their program, are conservative Christians, nationalists, people who see the Constitution, you know, people who are conservative, what they call the ultra-right, which basically was just like everybody from George Washington and Abraham Lincoln up to even John Kennedy and Ronald Reagan is an ultra, would be the ultra-right, according to them. And so what they've been doing is they've been moving everybody further and further to the left. In fact, there was, there was a political scientist a few years ago who wrote a book called Left Turn. And I think his name was Groslow. And he wrote, he explained, look, the Republican Congress of 1999 was considerably to the left of the Democratic Congress of 1980. We've been moving to the left year after year, decade after decade, and we haven't noticed, because it's like the frog boiling in the pot. And now they've got us to the point to where they're ready to tip us over right into a Soviet type of state. And the pandemic, you know, they wanted to use global warming to do it. Oh, the planet is, the oceans are going to boil. We have to do something quickly. Then that justifies a dictatorship or martial law or some kind of extraordinary measures which get rid of people's freedom, especially their economic freedom. That wasn't working fast enough for them. So they went over to this pandemic with the help of the communist Chinese. So that's what they're doing now. Does that make sense as the big picture?
It does. And I love the fact that you quote Joseph Piper. I like to quote him quite a bit, abuse of language, abuse of power. That one of the other things that has subtly been done is quite literally turning language into an instrument of rape or an instrument of abuse in every aspect. And we're seeing that happen more and more right now as well, where they try to control virtually the entire information battle space.
Yeah. Well, you know, Stalin in his old age, in the last few years, he became interested in semantics. And he said, this is the key. If we can dominate language, we can advance our cause. And there's a Richard Weaver, the famous conservative polemicist, who wrote a fantastic book called Ideas Have Consequences. And I think it was 1947, 48, he wrote the book, the fantastic book. He said that in the 14th century, you know, Occam from Occam's razor, they started, you know, questioning universals, starting to say, universals aren't real. Now, what a universal is it's basically an idea. And transcendentals are the ideas like truth, beauty, and goodness, you know, objective morality, things like that. You question universals, you get rid of transcendentals. There's no right or wrong. There's no truth. There's no beauty. There's no God. There's no spirit. There's nothing spiritual. You're opening the door to the kind of materialism that Marxism believes in. So you've had this progressive movement through the Renaissance, through the Enlightenment, through the materialism that comes in with Marx and Darwin, and all the scientism that follows from it. And so you now, all you have is totally, facts, supposedly, disconnected from a larger philosophic understanding in which words, the meaning of words are not objective or fixed. And there you have semantics instead of actual language, where you can go from saying the word marriage, which for 1,000 years meant that, you know, if you go back to the beginning of, since the Dark Ages, has meant the union of man and woman, that marriage can now mean the union of man and man.
Mm-hmm.
So you change the definition of the word marriage to say, oh, there's a right to gay marriage. Well, that's making marriage into a nonsense. Would see what the Supreme Court did was they made a semantic change. They actually, now I don't know where the Supreme Court got the power to change the meaning of common English words. They could say, according to what they did in that case, they could say the word and means but, or we means I, or, you know, any, you know, you literally, if the Supreme Court has the power to change the meaning of English words, then anything can become anything in any law at any time. It makes the law into gibberish. When the Supreme Court gave the gay marriage thing, they totally destroyed the law. There is no more law. Because if they can make up the language and say that change the definition of any word at will, then no law as written means anything.
No law means anything at all, or it more probably, it means whatever they want for that specific moment or situation. It can just be changed
to will. Whatever they decide, it's totally arbitrary. And yep. That's where you end up with nominalism. You know, nominalism says that definitions are arbitrary, basically. You just use any definition you want to any, words are just tags. So the word is not something very special that helps us to see the truth, that we think in words and concepts. And if you take those things away, if they can be completely turned on their head, as you say, and you can use language to rape meaning, you know, as the author you like so much says in his book on the abuse of language, abuse of power, then you've got something. And this is what the totalitarianism, topsy-turvy world of totalitarianism is based on, the lie. And it's also based on the fact that, unfortunately, the fallen human race is such that most people are very mediocre. They don't want to be challenged on anything, and they'd rather believe, just simply tell me what it is. Give me the answer. You know, I don't want to figure it out for myself. I don't really care about the truth. Just tell me what I'm supposed to say. So they live in a world that is mediated by shifting terms, and these people see the power grab in that. You know, they can simply, if they control the language, then they have total power over the minds of millions. And anybody who wants to hold them to truth and meaning, then they got to get rid of those people, because they're the fly in the ointment.
They are. And those are the people that call out evil. And I want you to talk a little bit about evil, since you wrote about it, The Fool and His Enemy: Toward a Metaphysics of Evil. And it came out last year, but it was almost prescient about what was going to happen over the next year, you know, all the way up until this July. How should we understand, especially as Christians, how should we understand evil and how it is so subtle and works, and particularly in this case through the communist movement in America and abroad?
Well, here our religious teachings and traditions are really helpful to us. Man does not live by bread alone. And when you point to Christ, Christ is emblematic of the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, right? So there's a whole philosophy in the Western tradition, going back to Socrates, who drank the hemlock because the Athenians didn't want to hear the truth, right? And Christ was crucified because the people of his day didn't want to hear the truth. You know, Pontius Pilate, when Christ asked him, he says, well, I am here to say the truth. And Pilate says, what is truth? You know, what is that? And the thing is that the truth is the most important thing. That is what we are called upon to uphold and to seek the truth, right? And the problem is that people are so, they want something, they want a shortcut. The truth is really difficult, and the truth is unpleasant, by the way, because when we hear the truth, we don't always look so good or feel so good about ourselves when we hear the truth. We go, oh, the truth about ourselves, that's not so pretty. You know, the human race isn't so pretty, but we have, this is what we are called upon to face up to, because there is such a thing as eternity, right? And this life is finite, and we have to face that eternity. We have to face God. We have to face our maker. We are a creature in this thing. We didn't create this world. We're in it, but we didn't make it. And so we are here to try to live in truth. That's what we're called on to do. And the whole, you look at all the problems in history, all the problems we have right now, it's because people do not want to live in the truth. And what is evil? Then you, so this is where we focus on evil. You look at Stalin, you look at Hitler, you look at communism, you look at everything that goes on in your own personal life. It's when you do not live in truth. It's when you lie to yourself. Look, you can't cheat an honest man, right? It's like, why did you believe that? Why were you so perverse that you believe that? You know, what is this thing where we actually allow ourselves to get swindled? See, it's not really innocent, because you're obligated to know the truth. And that is a real moral calling there that everyone has.
Yes.
What is your excuse for not knowing it? You had an obligation. You said, well, I got schooled. It's like, well, you shouldn't have been. You got a brain. God gave you the way to search for the truth. And, you know, the simple thing is to say, I don't know. Then you're not going to be caught repeating a lie if you say, well, I don't know.
Well, but Jeff, people, I think dovetailing, yeah. Yeah, dovetailing onto that really quick, just dovetailing onto that. I think that what people will say is, how am I supposed to recognize the truth, especially in this day and age? It's been so shaded. And you actually have written about this, how particularly communism, but evil in and of itself will always try to change its image and will always try to look weak. And I would like you to address that part of it, because some people will say, hey, how am I supposed to recognize evil? It's so hard. I really do want to know the truth, but it's so hard in this day and age with all the fake and disinformation that's out there.
Well, you have to cultivate, everyone has to cultivate within themselves truthfulness in their everyday life about themselves. They have to face themselves, face your own weaknesses. And when you have really, you've gotten to know yourself, and it's kind of unpleasant, right? And when you've gotten to really reflect on that, you can see yourself, and if you can, you get the forgiveness that you get for, okay, this is what I am. You can also have that humanity and forgiveness for other people, and that humanizes rather than the opposite. But then you can then recognize when people are caught up in lies. It gives you discernment. And discernment, you know, if people say, okay, well, how do I know the truth? Well, discernment, it involves a spiritual and intellectual state. And it is connected to grace. It's true. And not everybody's going to get there. But that's what we're here to try to strive towards. And when people talk about knowing Christ, you know, Christ is the truth, right? So, and there is this self-knowledge and this kind of confession. And this kind of, it's a path that you have to follow. It's not just you recite some line out of the Bible and then it's all settled. No, it doesn't work like that. It's a struggle that you have to, pick up your cross. You have to do this. This is part of the Western spiritual tradition, the Christian tradition, that people have lost their sense of, and it has great profundity, and you know, many of us have listened to very profound sermons that touch on, you know, there's all kinds of passages in the Bible that speak to this. The Bible's full of these profound insights into this sort of thing, and so is Western philosophy as well, and a lot of our writers and thinkers down through the centuries. But now people want like a formula, you know, a shortcut. something to recite that is like, and you look at politics, it's all a bunch of slogans. And you break down those slogans and it's like, that doesn't mean anything. And largely those slogans are demonizing somebody that if you just demonize them enough, then everything's going to be okay. But no, the problem is always in within. It's dealing with the little bad person inside of us, right? It's in recognizing our own wickedness. And then once we can see that, then we start to have discernment about what's going on around us. But as long as we're doing, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm perfect. When you are in that state, that's the opposite of grace. That's the opposite of discernment. You will be taken in by everybody who does that same kind of trick, because then you'll identify with them because they're just like you. See, the problem is over there. It's that guy. And we're going to all join together, and we're going to go after that guy. But it really isn't. I mean, yeah, there are problems outside of ourselves, but the reason we get tricked, the reason evil works is it's us. We participate in it.
We do. And we have to reject it everywhere we possibly can, which brings up the natural question. Okay, we recognize there's evil. We recognize that communism is moving very quickly here in the United States. What do we do to stop it? What should people do is on the individual level first, then in their families, then in their communities, what should we be doing to stop this?
Well, seeking the truth and developing discernment is number one. I mean, we can't, like you pointed out before, it's like people ask me things all the time and I don't know the answer. I have, it's like on a lot of these political issues, I don't know what to believe, but I have suspicions about what the answer is. It could be right or wrong. I've been following this a long time. I offer an opinion. I offer some analysis. But this is real time. This is like a real time unfolding events with a fog of war. And so what people have to do is they have to be really honest about what they know and they don't. And then they have to, like with this business of them pushing the vaccine on us, for example, they want people to take this vaccine who already have natural immunity. They want children under 12 to take the vaccine. When children under 12, it's just absolutely, it's practically a fluke event that anyone under 12, unless they have a really serious medical condition, is going to be affected by COVID-19. So you know, your discernment tells you right there's something dirty going on here, right?
Right.
There somebody is trying to push us into doing something. It's like when a car nutter shows up and he's trying to sell you on something. And you can detect the fraud in it. It's like it doesn't quite make sense. You can't tell exactly what the fraud is going to be. You don't know exactly what he's intending to take away from you. But he's after you. He's trying to cheat you in some way. That's what we're in the middle of. And it's global warming. It's the pandemic. It's the vaccine. It's the federal government under these people from the far left. It's all of these, and it can be from the conservative politicians, too. I mean, we've got bad people coming from every direction, you know, at us, trying to figure out the truth. But that's sort of how you got to approach everything, and you have to be firm. You cannot allow yourself to be pushed into the crowd to accepting they're going. And when something's wrong, you have to stand up against it. When you look at this and you go, no, it's not making people get it. Like, let's say you've even been vaccinated and you think, well, yeah, maybe I made a mistake and maybe these people who don't want to be vaccinated should not be forced. So you stand up with them and say, look, there's nothing wrong here. I'm standing up and people, no matter what they call you, whatever name they call you, it doesn't matter. You are standing up for something. You have the discernment to see there's something wrong here, and you don't know exactly what it is. You know, people say, here are conspiracy theorists. No, I just know there's something wrong. I don't know exactly what it is, but I need to stand up for this. There's the Nuremberg laws. This is an experimental vaccine. The FDA hasn't even approved it. This thing needs 8 years of testing to be safe. You're going to take away people's jobs, kick them out of university because they won't take the shot? Oh, this is really evil. right on its face, it's evil. You know you're dealing with an emerging totalitarianism.
This is exactly right? What we're facing. It's exactly what we're facing.
Yeah. And you know, who's behind it? How does it work behind the scenes? I mean, look, we have society is complicated, and communism is a mass, it's a movement in which a minority of communists have organized fronts and organized other groups and have manipulated these other groups into following programs that have been orchestrated by them. Most people in the communist movement are not communists. And if you told them they were part of a communist movement, they would laugh in your face because they don't have any discernment. They don't understand what it is they've been following. You know, whether it was the nuclear freeze movement in the 1980s or believing in global warming today, global warming was invented by the editor of Pravda. He thought of it. He wrote about it in 1982. And they said, oh, yeah, we'll adopt that because they knew the solar cycle, we were going to have 3 decades of warning. They were going to make that into a thing. Now the planet is starting to cool again. You look at Valentina Zarkova in Britain or Abdus Samatov in Russia, and they're saying, no, we got the grand solar minimum. The world's going to get colder now. We might be heading into a mini ice age. So, but they see they use this to create a hysteria so that they could put cap and trade on everything. They can tax us, and they can take away our rights because, oh, after all, our carbon footprint is too big.
Right. Yeah. Well, they fly around in jets. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, China and Russia are not responsible for their carbon footprint. Just us. Just, you know, all of this stuff is America is racist, sexist, and we're the big polluter. Everything is aimed at us. We're the ones that are going to be punished. It's economic sabotage. It's trying to destroy our self-confidence. It's trying to divide and conquer our society. Turn blacks and whites against each other. Turn the rich and poor against each other. Male and female against each other. And now the vaccinated and unvaccinated, they're trying to turn against each other.
And so in the next, we've got about 2 minutes left. In the next couple months, what do you see happening? And then again, you know, if you were going to name, besides discerning the truth and developing the ability to discern the truth, what is one concrete step people could take to help stop this train that is trying to roll over the top of us?
Well, if once you develop the discernment to participate and share what you see with others and help them to develop that discernment to see and to cultivate in yourself a real sense of responsibility, because when you see a baby crawling toward a well, because you see it, because you have the discernment, then you have a responsibility. See, that's what everybody wants to run away from. Oh, I don't want to see it because if I see it, I'll have a responsibility. No, now you are called upon. You have to stop the baby falling down that well. And right now, that baby is our society, our country, our children, our future, our civilization. Everything could be destroyed here. People have no idea how fragile civilization is and our country is. And if we don't, and everybody has their unique talents, abilities, connections, you know, nobody's asking anyone to do this, something that's impossible for them. You know, every little bit, I mean, the sheer weight of 10,000 people doing what they're morally called upon to do because of what they see is an amazing power.
Absolutely amazing power. And I think that people don't understand how strong they are. I was talking about during the briefing at the beginning of the show that there are businesses that are standing up saying, we're not going to enforce this stuff in North Carolina. We're not going to do it. And all the businesses do it. Where are you going to get your tax money from? Who do you think is in charge? And it's the people. And if the people rise up, this thing ends overnight. So we've got about 30 seconds. If you could, where can people go to get more information and buy your books?
Well, jrnyquist.blog, jrnyquist.blog is my website. You can buy my book, The Fool and His Enemy, on Amazon. And it's a very quick read, about 3 hours, 3-4 hours, depending on how fast you read. And it is very important. It gives you an overview.
Awesome. Jeff Nyquist, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Keep up the fight. Really appreciate your articles. I've been reading you for a long time, and just you hit right at the point of things. And the fact that people lack the discernment right now today for what is true and what is not really is the crux of the issue. We have to get that discernment much higher, much more mature, if we're going to hope to survive what is coming.
Absolutely. That's right.
All right. Blessings to you.
Thank you.
Jeff Nyquist, and he is both an author, but also somebody that studies warfare, studies communist tactics and communist strategies. He's written for Newsmax, Max WorldNet Daily, Sierra Times, Financial Sense, Epoch Times. He's the author of Origins of the Fourth World War, The New Tactics of the Global War, The Fool and His Enemy. So take it, and that's about the metaphysics of evil, too. And I think that this is really important for us to understand. So if you haven't heard of Jeff, go check out his stuff. And again, his blog, jrnyquist.blog. You can find that online pretty easily. All right, in the last 30 seconds, just want to talk quickly again about, you know, everything that's been going on around us. Learn how to discern the truth. There are entire groups of Republicans who get elected because they know people won't discern the truth. They won't discern that these people are fake. And evil is always subtle. It always kind of comes in looking like an angel of light when it really is darkness. Press in with your family. Pray with your family tonight. Read the Word with your family tonight. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio. May God bless all of you. May he make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.